Can't believe it's already 2018. It just seems to be going faster than I can imagine. This is by no means, we were talking again in class today about Jesus the Shepherd. And Christians, like sheep, need to be led and not driven. These today are to be taken more as an encouragement, as something that we need to do. I don't think anybody would be foolish enough to argue that these things that we'll be discussing this morning aren't good for us. I can't make you do things, can't threaten you to do things, can't guilt you into doing things. That, like sheep, we have to have examples and have that intrinsic motivation to serve our God. Amen. But these are some things I'd like to look this week and next week. This week at some positive things, some do's that would be good for us to dedicate ourselves to doing here in 2018. They are all for our benefit. I don't think anybody has ever gotten to a point where enough is enough. Our first thing that we're going to look at today, some of the do's, is to study more. I don't know if we can ever get to the point of, oh, I've studied enough. You know, I've read the Bible through. I know it. I've heard that before. I've reached the end. I don't need to study. It is so good for us. And God, in His infinite wisdom, has given us a Bible that I don't care how many times you read it. I don't care how many times you've read through a passage. It seems like every time I read it, I see it new. Amen. I see things that may be applying to my life new this time that maybe didn't apply the last time I read that passage. I'm seeing it out of different eyes. But take a few minutes every day to read the Bible. There's more than one way to skin a cat. You can, pick a book to read through. And then when you get done with that, pick a different book. Or you can start at the beginning and read a couple of chapters a day. Pick a theme. We've got those little handout brochures out in the foyer, the house-to-house, heart-to-heart little pamphlets. Those would be great study guides. Read the stories in there, the scriptures, look those up. The outlines that we get each week. Take a few minutes, and not that you hadn't heard them today, but go home and take a few minutes and maybe read the verses that are on the outline. Just to refresh your memory. I don't know if you're like me. When I'm listening to a speaker, I will get sidetracked. I'll be reading the verse and then, of course, maybe read the next verse. And then get all caught up in that, and then pretty soon I'm reading five verses down, and the person delivering the message is on to something else, and I've been spending the last few minutes focused on the previous verse. So, whatever, however you like, study more. Our scripture reading this morning that you read was from 2 Timothy 2:15, where Paul is giving Timothy an admonition to be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved of God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what we as Christians need to be able to do. If we're going to pass and teach others, if we're wanting to teach our children, if we're wanting to teach our neighbors, if we're teaching a Bible class, we need to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. It's not out of zeal where so many of the denominations are missing the mark. It's not lack of zeal. It's not rightly dividing the word of truth. It's where they're missing the mark. In 1 Peter 3:15, the Apostle Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you." We always have to be ready to give when people ask. And I would assume that sometime in your life, somebody has come to you and have asked you a religious question. Somebody has come, they've seen the difference in you at work. They've seen the difference in you standing out from others. And they can tell you're a Christian. And you might be the person in the workplace. "Oh, we have a question about the Bible. I saw something on TV and I got a question." You're the one I come to. Study to where you can be ready to give a defense and back up with Scripture. Not I think, not I feel, not in my opinion, but with Scripture. People can argue opinions all day long. Amen. Let them argue the Apostle Matthew. Let them argue Paul. Let them argue Jesus. They can argue you all day long, but if you give them Scripture, it's kind of hard to argue that. And the last bit, not only be able to give a reason for our hope, not only are we able to teach, but with meekness. Meekness and the reverent fear of the Lord. We have to do it with meekness. We can win an argument and lose the soul. We can be right all day long. But are we doing it with meekness? Are we losing the soul we're trying to convince in the process? I'd rather have a positive influence on that person than the negative influence. Sure got them told. Gave them both barrels of 2 Timothy. Where's that going? You might have won the argument, but you lost the person in the process. Amen. We need to do it with meekness and fear. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul said, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." That's one of the purposes of studying God's Word, to where we in turn can teach others. And then they can teach others. This process has been going on since the days of Paul. Somebody has taught us. And hopefully we are passing it on. You know, Christianity is one of those things that the more, it's kind of like love. The more you give away, the better it is for you. It's not like money. You kind of want to hold on to your money. You don't want to give it all out to everybody. You kind of want to hold on to that. You don't want to lose it all. But our knowledge of God's Word, the knowledge of salvation, the more we give that away, the more it benefits us. And we need to study to be able to teach others. Every one of us that is a baptized Christian should be able to teach somebody else. If you have that attitude, well, that's what we got you for. No. No. Hopefully, you are reaching many more people than I ever think about on a Sunday morning. To be able to reach others, to pass it on. Now, does everybody understand as much of the Bible as everybody else? No. But you can teach the things that has been taught you so far in your life. You can teach others about Jesus. You can teach about baptism because you've done it. You've gone through it. And then as you learn more, you have more to teach. But every one of us can teach. Acts 17:11, the Christians in Berea were recognized and praised for their study. It says these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily. Daily. To find out whether these things were so. Daily. They were acknowledged that they studied daily. I'm just going to throw a question out. Don't want any answers. You answer it yourself to you. If Paul was writing it today about you, would we be praised for our study? Or would he be, hey, look at so-and-so. They study daily. Need to pattern yourself after them. Or, hey, this person needs to pick it up a little bit. Another thing we need to do is pray. I don't know if we could ever pray enough. I don't know, just like study, you know, can we ever get to the point, oh, I pray enough. I don't know if we could ever get to that point. When we understand, and we've had a lot of sermons about prayer, that it's our way of communicating with God. God knows our thoughts. God knows our hearts before we even go to Him. But it is good for us. It's good for us to go to God in prayer. The submissiveness, the humbleness that it takes to go to God in prayer. The comfort that we get to go to God in prayer. If you don't have above and beyond your own personal prayers, pray for growth for yourself. Pray for growth. Now I'll tell you, be prepared. You pray for patience, you're usually given adversity. So be prepared. I mean, we could have some sermons on this down the road. If you pray for growth, be prepared for opportunities to grow. Okay? And be willing to grab hold of them. Pray for growth, not only for yourself, pray for growth of us here at South Valley. Not numbers, Not numbers. It's not about numbers. Growth and maturity. Pray for us at South Valley. That we do His will. That we continue to be a light in this end of the valley, upholding our responsibilities for God. That we can bring others into the kingdom. Pray for the church universal. His church. The church Jesus established worldwide. We've got it pretty good here. We've got a nice, comfortable place with climate control. Very few of you ever agree on the climate control, but we've got climate control. Okay? People wear Hugh out. Hugh, turn it up. It's too cold. Turn it down. It's too hot. You know, Hugh wears a rut back and forth, turning it up and down. But we got climate control. We don't have to worry, I used to think, about people coming in and maybe killing us for being a Christian. Although that has happened within our own country. That has happened. But worldwide, that is a common occurrence. For Christians to be persecuted, not for what they had done, for who they are. There are places in the world right now that Christians are being killed, beheaded, burned alive, hung. Pray for the church. If you ever run out of things, pray for us to be able to develop elders here. Something that we've been working on, we continue to work on. Not quite there yet. But I tell you, one thing I think about, there are people right now, maybe in this building, that are trying to prepare themselves to be an elder in the future. It may be young men. Louis, it might be you. You keep studying God's Word. Because you don't become an elder just overnight. Oh, I'm X age, I want to be an elder. That don't happen. You prepare yourself with the decisions you make through prayer, through study. You young men, you prepare yourselves now to be an elder in the future. As mobile as our society is, this past year, we've lost a few members moving out of town. We've gained a few members, people moving into town. We never know. Family might move, a few families might move in that are elder material. Pray for it. And bottom of the list, if you ever run out of something to pray for, dear God, I don't know what to pray. I've prayed for everybody, pray for me. Pray that I will present God's Word properly. Amen. The way He is pleased. With the truth. And the truth only. If you ever run out of things to pray, I'd appreciate a couple words from me. Philippians 4, 6, Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi, and he says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I'm an anxious person. I'm a worrier. And it is so totally against being a strong Christian. How can you justify being a worrywart and having faith in God? I can't. Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but instead, in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Go to, we are a prayer away from communicating with God at any given time. Driving to work in the morning, sitting on our back porch by ourselves, before bed, before a meal, we are a prayer away from God at any given moment. Let's grow and mature this year. I would love for us to grow in numbers, but it's never been about numbers. It has never been about numbers. It's been about growth and maturity. Even at the periods of time where the church was growing rapidly, they were still in the minority. But just like kids mature and get more capable and more self-reliant and dependable, let us grow as Christians. Amen. Jesus says in Luke 2, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Well, I hope I this year go a little down in stature. I'm a little out too far, but I think I've done growing. I kept hoping, but I stopped about 10th grade. But hopefully we can continue to grow like Jesus in wisdom. And all it takes is effort. That's the thing. Oh God, give me wisdom. You got to open the Bible. You know, you can't pray for wisdom and then expect God to sprinkle a little fairy dust on you and all of a sudden you wake up smart. All it takes is effort. That's the good part. You don't have to be a genius. It takes effort. And that last part, to grow in favor with God. And isn't that what we are intending to do? Is to be seen favorably by God. That's what we want. We want God to see us as loving, obedient children rather than alien sinners. To grow in favor with God and with men. To be a light in the world. Not to be a hypocrite. In fact, this is a quality for an elder, to be respected within the church and without. Something we should all strive for. Not just to be respected by each other, but are we respected as an honorable person at work? Are we respected as an honorable person in our neighborhood, within our family, and so on? Paul told the Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to be transformed. We have to change. We have to have growth. We're not just the same person we've always been. We have to grow. Ouch. Ouch. Oh, Bruce, why are you going there? Not talking to you. You're here. Not talking to you. You're here today. Make sure it's regular. Now, before we get started in this, I've heard them all. I've heard all the excuses. It amazes me how the effort and energy some people put in to trying to justify why you don't have to be here instead of just putting effort into being here.
Amen.
It amazes me. I'm going to preface this. Everybody, unplug, listen. Listen to this one. Because the last time I said this, a lady called me in the afternoon worrying that South Valley was closing down. If you showed up one day, if we're not closing, but if you showed up and there was a handwritten sign on the door, closed due to lack of interest, what would you think? You show up on Sunday night, not enough people here to be here. Wednesday night. And again, I've heard all the excuses why you don't have to be here, and none of them are worth the breath it takes to say them. God knows we need to be here. We need to be here. We have opportunities to come together and worship together as a body. Can you worship by yourself? Yeah. God wants us to be together as a family, as a body of believers. Mm-hmm. We have opportunities for Bible class, to study, to grow. Well, I don't get anything out of Bible class. I don't like the teacher. Okay. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to like the teacher. Well, I've already heard that before. Great, if you know so much, enlighten the rest of us. The fellowship. You know what? And I will concede, most of the things that God wants us to do can be done by an individual by themselves. They can participate in the Lord's Supper. Remember the Lord's Supper. They could sing songs of praise to God. They could study God's Word. But you know what? They can't enjoy the fellowship by themselves. They can't encourage anybody by themselves. God wants us together. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. These are not my words. I'm just reading it. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. That's not a positive recognition there, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't forsake the assembling together. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, talking about Jesus, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. As his custom was, Jesus was used to going to the synagogue. Then Paul, Acts 17:2, then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. That was Paul's custom. That was his habit, to go to worship. And the last one I'd like for us to look at is to encourage. Not just show up, not just be a pew warmer, but make your presence here felt. Make your presence here felt. Encourage each other. We were told to, you know, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but encourage each other and consider each other for good works. Support programs. Not come up with 15 ways why it's not going to work. Support it. Make it work. Comfort each other. Every week, there's not, I don't think a week goes by that somebody doesn't need comforting in this body. Somebody is ill. Somebody has lost a loved one. Facing a surgery. Something. Bolster somebody up. Acknowledge. Now, we should not do our deeds to be seen by men. Jesus spends plenty of time condemning the scribes and Pharisees about don't be like them, that they do their praying and their charitable deeds to be seen by men. But there's nothing wrong with acknowledging the things people do, to encourage them, to give them that boost. I tell you, a pat on the back. You give somebody a pat on the back for something they've done, they're good for 50 more miles. Acknowledge them. In Acts 15, starting verse 30, it says, "So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, when the Christians came together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement." How would you like to have missed that? Well, I don't have to come, but you'd have missed the reading of the letter and the encouragement. "Now, Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words." They strengthened the brothers. Hebrews 3:13, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You know what? Encourage people. Just do it today. Just do it today. And then tomorrow, when tomorrow becomes today, do it tomorrow. Just do it on today's. Okay? And our last scripture for lesson is yours is 1 Thessalonians. It says, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing." That's what I see from you. As Paul's telling the Christians in Thessalonica, comfort each other just as you also are doing. You're doing it. You're doing these things. You are studying. Please, please don't take this lesson as you're not studying, you're not attending, you're not, you know, encouraging each other. No. You're doing these things. Let's continue and get better and get stronger and more mature. The lesson is yours. Next week, I'd like for us to look at some do nots for 2018. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you've been studying God's Word and you realize you need to be baptized, please do so. If you have studied God's Word and you realize that there is sin in your life and you need to repent, if you've got sin in your life, you cannot continue being pleasing to God with sin in your life. Repent of that sin. If you're looking for a church home, if you've been visiting some different congregations of the Lord's church and would like to work with us here, we would love to have you. If you need prayers of the congregation, we will go to God in prayer on your behalf. Whatever your need, If you would come forward as Colin leads us in the invitation song, we will address those needs. Let us stand and sing.